I can ask for a baguette. Or je voudrais une tranche de pâté de condom.
Okay. Did the customs officer get you the baguette?
It was salmonella poisoning.
Oh.
The whole plane had it. We had off chicken the night before on that cruise, and they sent us all on that flight.
Shoes off are fine. Socks off, no.
Why?
Keep your manky trotters to yourself.
The only way he can get out of your boringness is if he goes and
yes.
makes friends with other people. Have you thought about that? I'm not feeling... Welcome to this week's episode of Judgmental. Oh, yes. Now, Anton, my question is this.
Yes.
What have you been judging this week?
The cost of flights during the school holidays. Wow.
Cheap. 2 weeks in the Canaries for 250 quid.
Yes.
All inclusive.
No. Maybe in sort of a period of time where nobody's leaving the country. It's interesting because I've got two children, obviously. And Hannah and myself. And in order to afford to go away, we're only going to Europe, I had to sell one of the children to pay for it.
Terrible.
I know, it's extortionately expensive.
I could have bought one from you.
You should have bought one.
I'd want a 20% discount, no VAT.
A mate's rate. You could choose the child. Horrendous. I mean, it's horrendous. And I know this is not a new lament, and anybody with children and who is also told you can only go on holiday at this period of time, by the way, because otherwise your child's got to be at school. And if you take your child out of school, you're in big trouble, let me tell you. But you can't afford to go on holiday any other time than when the children are supposed to be in school, because it's two-thirds the price on top of an already sort of inflated price. So, yeah, it's very, very difficult. It's a very difficult time of year for parents. And I'm feeling it, parents, as are you all. Very difficult time trying to go on holiday with the children. School holidays. And also, by the way, how long are they off school? Forever, by the way.
How long?
Oh, I mean, 8-9 weeks.
That's why I can't go on holidays while there's school holidays.
I know.
Because I do not want to be surrounded in the Maldives by children.
You're also cost you £3 million to get there.
Well, yeah, the Maldives, yeah. We're talking like at least minimum Maldives, £2,000 a night. Minimum.
I mean, what?
I know.
What?
Even in pink pounds, darling.
Even in the pink pounds.
That's expensive.
What about the flights, though? You can't even get there for less than about £4 trillion.
That's true.
Because of this time of year.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Better to go in September.
Better to go in a time where children are at school.
Your problem is you can't do that.
No.
But I can. I wait for the school holidays to be over before I even consider going on holiday.
Very wise.
You know.
I can't bear it. I can't bear it, and I don't know what to do about it. I have thought about taking the children out of school during the school term, actually, and getting told off. And I go, yeah, you're right. I shouldn't really do it. And I'm sorry. Honestly, I'm
so
very
that's
sorry.
Your...
But I'm going to do it anyway. But so, I'm not going to do it because my wife won't let me.
So that's this week's dilemma for you. And that's what you've been judging.
Oh,
and obviously,
God.
You're very passionate about this.
What about you? What have you been judging?
Oh, I've been judging my villagers in Kingscliff.
Your villagers?
Yes, the people from the village.
I love the fact that you're like the lord of the manor.
Well, I'm not really. I've been judging them because I've set up a wheelbarrow formation group. And we had our first rehearsal this week.
Please let me come and see this.
There's 11 of the villagers.
Yeah. Always an odd number?
Oh, but one's got to create a V.
Of course.
Inverted or not. But in order to create an inverted V or any type of V or chevron, one needs a pinpoint. And so what I did was I started with them this week. And that was very, very interesting. And I have been judging them.
How are they doing?
Well, surprisingly, they weren't too bad. Actually, one side was better than the other.
What was the quality of their wheelbarrow like?
The wheelbarrows themselves are good. It's just the handlers. No, but it is quite a bizarre thing doing a wheelbarrow formation team.
And what's this for?
It's for the village fete.
Okay.
It's for Cliff Fest.
Are you? Of course, it is. Are you setting it to something? What's the piece of music you use?
Oh, I've done a compilation of 7 minutes.
A 7 minute.
It's a 6 minute routine with a 1 minute entry. And it's all to do with flying because they're called the Harrier jumpers, the Heritage Harrier jumpers. And it's all based on Kingscliff Heritage, which is which is all about Kingscliff and trying to raise money for that.
I always find the best heritages of the actual place. That's the best one.
Most of the villagers are of a certain heritage.
Right.
Some are, some aren't. So we've got a cross-section of the community all working very hard on the choreography for that. So I have been sat there quietly, not quite judging, because my name's on it, darling, so I want it to be good.
Yes, of course.
And we're doing all sorts of things, you know, from music from Top Gun, music from Dam Busters.
This is just brilliant.
Take My Breath Away. We're doing that one. We're doing lots of stuff.
This is tremendous.
And it is funny. I can't wait. It's going to be coming out. So we've got time to do it.
When is it?
Huh?
When is it?
It's in September.
Oh.
Mid-September. And
I'm coming down. You know that.
Yeah, it's the 12th of September, darling. Come to the village.
I'm coming to the village.
And our 7 minute program.
Oh.
They're all exhausted.
Who's playing Maverick?
It'll be me, probably.
You'll be Maverick, right. How are you finding working with the amateurs rather than the professionals that you're used to?
Well, they've got a very good attitude.
Have they?
But they don't stop talking. I know.
How do you deal with that?
I know. It's quite difficult because professionals just do what they're told.
Yes.
Amateurs like to have a bit of a laugh with it all.
And you can't fire any of them, of course.
No, of course I can't because no one's being paid. And they're giving up their own time. And we have to rehearse from 8 in the evening till 10 at night.
Are you doing it indoors or rehearsal or outdoors?
No, we're in a football field.
Oh, my God.
I know.
This is just brilliant.
It was hilarious. So, they're quite difficult to deal with in that way, but they're very, very lovely, lovely people.
You'll have a star turn. Always there is somebody who comes out of these things and they're actually really quite good. Have you spotted your really quite good one?
Yes. The best one of the lot was someone that was just filling in for one of the ones that couldn't make it.
Oh, no.
Do you see, the thing was amateur. With professionals, they have to turn up because they're being paid.
Yeah.
But with amateurs, they've either got to take the kids somewhere or they've got to feed them or their work.
Feeding children. Yeah, isn't annoying.
You know all about that. Or they can't come that particular night because they've got something else on. And so I'm never really going to get a full compliment until the day.
Until the show.
So I'm slightly concerned. But it's a real laugh, actually. I love their attitude. I mean, let's not forget, I was an amateur. And I loved
it. Not for long, though.
No, not for long. But I did two shows in my hometown of Ballarat. And I really loved that. It was great. It was fabulous.
I was an amateur for many years.
But I was actually quite professionally minded, you know, when I was a kid, when I was working there, because I would put the hours in and I'd be quiet and I'd take on, you know, any direction that I had to. And I was, you know, and I would give up a lot of time without complaining, unlike you.
What? What?
Yeah.
I'm very malleable.
But they are great. I mean, they just can't wait to get to the pub for a drink afterwards.
Naturally.
So I think it's more of a social thing, as well as a bit of a laugh, as well as raising money.
The day will come where they suddenly go, "Ooh, this is actually quite, we've got to do this now. Oh, I wish I'd paid more attention."
Yeah, that'll be on the day. And then they'll be needing a pint of lager before they go on. You know what they're like? Oh, no, I'm so nervous. No, I can't do it without a drink.
12 beers or something, don't
we? No, but as it's a formation team, you know what that's like. It's about precision.
No.
Yes.
No. This isn't.
And I do have them. I have set the bar quite high. We're spinning the barrows. They're dancing with the barrows. They're doing a foxtrot with the barrows.
Are they now?
Slow.
I've done a quick foxtrot with a couple of barrows in my time.
Slow. I think they thought they were just going to be walking around the field with a wheelbarrow, but no.
No.
No, they're actually making love to the wheelbarrows too.
Are they?
Yes, I've got a whole section through Take My Breath Away.
Have you?
Yeah, that's quite fun.
Love making on a barrow.
Well, we turn them upside down.
Naturally.
And it's sort of like that scene from Ghost, you know, where they're on the spinning wheel and the pottery wheel. Except their pottery wheel is the wheelbarrow's wheel.
Wheel.
Yeah.
Oh, this is tremendously inventive.
It is inventive. I don't want to give too much away just in case people...
No, too much.
You know. I mean, this could be a documentary.
I can't wait. What I'm going to do is I'm going to come to an early rehearsal and then I'm going to come to the final.
Last night was pretty interesting.
I'm going to come next week.
That's why it's fresh in my mind, because I really have been judging that. And plus I had to come up with a choreography that people could do, number one. Because I can't give them chenets from the corner, can
I? No, you can't.
Or jetés. I could, but it's not going to look right and someone will break their ankle. So I've got to be careful of that as well. Health and safety, darling. Health and safety.
Chenet. Oh, she's fallen over.
Oh, she's fallen over and broke her ankle. Right, and I'll get sued.
Could somebody use a barrow to remove Dorothy? She's spoiling the shape of the... Anyway.
No, but it's really good fun. And I can't wait for it to come to fruition. And I think they will... love the result.
Oh, they're going to love it.
Already, just the first, because we spent, what was it, an hour and a half on the routine, and I got a quarter of it done. Normally, I'd have that up in half an hour. Professionally. But, you know, we've got time.
The time.
You know, and because they're amateurs, we can do it once or twice a week, and, you know, then suddenly it will come together.
Now, we're talking about holidays this week. Now, tell me this, Craigie. Are you a city break or are you a beach and all of that sort? Or a safari type of person? What do you like?
Well, I've done many, but my preference is beach.
Uh-huh.
Only because I've lived in cities and I tour cities all my life.
Yeah.
Why on earth would I want to go and visit a city on a holiday? City. No, thank you. I want to sit by a beach. I want to... look at mountains and waterfalls as well.
Oh, nice.
You know, city breaks are a bit weird. Yes, for a weekend.
Yes.
But not a 2-week holiday in Dubai.
No. No, thank you.
Surfing.
Do you?
I'm pretty bad at it.
I can't. I've tried paddleboarding. I am a disaster.
Oh, no, that hurts my back paddleboarding.
I can't even get upright.
Can't you?
The best I can do is knees. I sit on it, paddle out. Get onto my knees. That's the best. My wife can get right up, or away she goes, paddly, paddly.
Oh.
I can get onto my knees. I can't get up. It's a disaster. I have no skill in the water sport department at all.
I then go and do a water aerobic class.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd love to see
aqua aerobics. I'd love
to see you doing aqua aerobics.
Then I'll do maybe a beach Zumba class, but I'm pretty well slaughtered by them. So that's sort of more fun than anything else, because I've had a big boozy lunch.
Yes, of course you have.
Because it's all inclusive. And of course, I get onto the beach and doing Zumba. You have a right laugh. It's good. It's good fun.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
So I always try and have a little bit of activity, mm-hmm. you know, while I'm doing it.
Right. Good. Well, let's find out more about that and what our listeners think in the main show.
Coming up, darlings, as ever, the gold standard, one of my favourites, where our resident butler, our gorgeous resident butler, brings us secret golden envelopes to spark us in conversation. Judgy Much.
Judgy Much.
We love her. Mm-hmm. Our quickfire judging round. And later in the show, we'll be responding to one of your juicy confessions in judging me.
Judging you.
Okay. Off we go. Attention, please. This is an announcement for all passengers travelling with Judgmental Holidays.
Whether you're embarking on a relaxing getaway or a journey that would later be described as an absolute nightmare, we would like to welcome you on board.
Before departure, we recommend packing the essentials.
Passport.
Tickets.
And the confidence to make several completely avoidable decisions.
Along the way, you may encounter travellers who ignored local advice.
Booked the cheapest option available.
And arrived with absolutely no idea where they were.
So settle into your seat.
Keep your belongings with you at all times.
And prepare for a guided tour through some of the most baffling holiday decisions ever made. Welcome to Judgment.
It's time for the gold standard.
I bring the gold.
And of course, I bring the standards.
So, butler, let us have it.
Oh, lovely.
Thank you, butler.
Thank you so much. This week is all about sun, suitcases and stories we'll regret telling, darling.
Come on, let's get into it. Do you want to pick or shall I?
I want to pick first.
You go.
I'm going to go centre.
Go ahead.
That's always interesting. Centre. Oh, Anton, we have a statement. Holidays when you were a child were way better than they are as an adult.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, no, neither would I.
I wouldn't
darling.
Say that.
No,
all.
As a child, we didn't even go on holidays as a kid.
We did.
Did you?
Oh, well, listen.
We never went on holidays.
I've got a Spanish mother and a Hungarian father. So in the summer holidays, so now, we would get into the car, pile the car up, and then drive 1 year to Spain and the following year to Hungary and stay with the grandparents. And both of my – so that was like a two-day drive from leafy Sevenoaks in Kent on the ferry over to Calais. And then from there, we'd drive across Europe to the north Spain. So my
– I'm sorry. Do you know how privileged – this sounds?
No, it sounds privileged, but it was...
Born in Ballarat, Australia, darling.
I know, there's nowhere to go. But we, this sounds privileged, but when you're in the back of a Vauxhall Viva and, you know, the only air conditioning is rolling the window down, and it was a two-door, so there's no back doors. So or even before that, it was like old Oxford Wolseley. I mean, this is... We used to drive across Europe, two-day drive across Europe, wouldn't stay in a hotel, sleep in the car, and then finally get to the north of Spain. So in my mum's from Galicia. My father's from somewhere in Hungary. I can't remember where. And so it was very rural, and we'd be sleeping in an old bed with a sunken mattress. My sister and I would be sharing a bed. There was an outside toilet. I mean, it was all pretty rural stuff. The only thing was there was a seaside nearby in Spain, but not in Hungary. I mean, it was, and so there was a lot of time being quite bored, which is a good thing, I think, looking back. Children need to learn how to be bored, I think, now. But you have to make your own entertainment.
No,
but,
you just give them a tablet. Darling.
Now, I know, it's a terrible, we don't do that. We get if you're bored, then
make them swipe left and right.
No, read a book. So that's what we did, and it. I don't look back on it. I look back on it reasonably fondly, but not hugely fondly.
We had one holiday.
That was all we had, one holiday. Where did you go?
Not. I'm talking about in our lives.
Oh, right.
One holiday, because my father was in the Navy. So we never, ever went on holiday, because mum would never, well, she couldn't take five kids everywhere, could she, by herself?
There were five of you?
Yes.
Why didn't I know that? Did I know that?
You'd never asked.
Oh, I'm sure I knew that.
What sort of friend you call yourself?
I know you've got two sisters.
Three sisters and a brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And we had one holiday, and I remember it clearly. We were terribly excited.
Where'd you go?
It was, I don't know, a 15-hour drive from Ballarat, which is in the south,
nearest city.
No, we went to a place called Foster, and it was a beach place in northern New South Wales. And I remember going. The first day we arrived, we all went down to the beach. My sister cut her foot wide open on an old bottle that was in the sand.
Horrendous.
Her out of action. She had to go to the hospital, have stitches. I was, we had these blow up, you know, body surfers. Yeah. And I ended up with gravel rash. So I couldn't go in the water for the rest of the
holiday.
What's
gravel rash?
It's where you get burnt, you know, you get burnt by not only the gravel or the sand.
Oh, right.
Against your skin, because I was on the bodyboard and it was, it rubbed my skin, off.
Oh, no.
So I couldn't, she couldn't go to the beach. She couldn't put her foot in the water because she'd been to hospital. I had
gravel rash.
And what else happened? Oh, yeah, it was a disaster holiday, complete disaster.
Where did you stay, in a hotel?
No, we were renting a place, a holiday home.
I didn't stay in a hotel.
That wasn't actually even on the beach.
I didn't stay in a hotel until I was in my 20s.
That was our only holiday.
One holiday in your early life.
Yeah.
When did you first go on holiday?
My first holiday, actual holiday, over here was when I went to Lundy Island to look for puffins.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was in 1989. And you know what? There wasn't one puffin.
No puffin.
And there was a puffin sanctuary.
No puffins were puffin.
It was fabulous. We stayed in a lighthouse and it was amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. It's a two-story, fabulous, incredible lighthouse on Lundy Island that you can rent from, is it the National Trust?
Yes.
Yeah, where they do all the old buildings. Amazing. It was incredible. So that actually was my first holiday. I had to pay for it with my MasterCard because I didn't have any money.
Then that took me
3 years to pay,
that off. £15 a month.
Yeah, 3 years to pay it off. And it was relatively cheap. It was only 55 quid a week. But I had, as I say, no money.
Zero. 55 quid a week is still a lot of money.
It was a lot of money back then.
The first time I stayed in a hotel, because I never, obviously we stayed with my, when we were on a holiday, we went there. That was all we ever did. Went there or there. And my first hotel I stayed in without my parents, I was about 19, something about similar to you, and I stayed in a hotel in Blackpool. I went to dance, and with my dancing school, we went up there, Ensemble, and we stayed in this hotel.
But is that a holiday if you're dancing?
Well, it's the first time I stayed in a hotel.
Oh, I see.
And then the first holiday I went on with some friends, did one of those sort of...
What, some of your ballroom?
Some of my pals. I went to Spain, somewhere grim, and stayed in a cheap hotel. It was horrendous. I vowed never to do it again. I did a week, ran out of money halfway through. Horrendous. Never doing that again. This seemed pointless.
I went on a holiday in Madrid and got stabbed.
Oh.
That was nice. And it was stinking hot. My jewellery was stolen as well. They ripped my necklace off my neck and gave me a big burn mark.
I would have been more concerned with the stab wound, personally.
No, it was a razor blade.
Oh, slashed you?
Yeah, I was slashed.
Wow. Where?
Stomach.
No.
Yeah.
Good heavens.
I know. Coming home from a club. It was probably 2 o'clock in the morning, but that's sort of normal. You go back for dinner at 10 or 11. But I remember I was dancing at the Lido in Paris, and we went to Madrid for a holiday. So that ended up pretty bad. And then when I got back, I got strip searched. I hadn't shaved, so I did look a bit of a wreck. I'd been stabbed. I had burn marks all around my neck from where I was, like, attacked. And then
they strip searched
the French strip searched me down to literally nothing.
You're performing G-string. Your performance costume.
No. I'm talking strip.
Oh, you search. You they were looking, down to the.
They were looking for drugs. And
where were they searching for the drugs?
Up my bottom.
No.
Everywhere.
Good heavens above.
Yeah.
You didn't get the prostate examination on what is at it, did you?
No.
Okay, just checking.
Anyway, it was horrific, but coming back was even worse.
You spoke at a French show, though, didn't you?
Yeah, but not enough to get through customs with all of that. You know, I could say, oh, drop me off at the corner of the street, please. S'il vous plaît, monsieur, le coin de la rue.
Oh, okay.
And I could ask for a baguette. Or je voudrais une tranche de pâté de cornin.
Okay. Did the customs officer get you the baguette?
And the only thing I knew about customs was this, je n'ai pas de passeport, c'est très grave. Voici le club, voici le vin, mais je n'ai pas de passeport.
Which bit of that is drop your trousers?
That's lesson one, darling.
Oh, I see.
In the French cassettes I had to learn from.
Ah.
The Hugo cassettes.
Hugo cassette. What is it now?
My Sony Walkman. So, that was horrendous. I've had quite a few horrific things.
Experiences through customs.
Yeah, I remember going to, I remember flying to Mombasa in Kenya.
Did you?
And it was all fabulous. I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going on safari. That's going to be nice. Got out there, arrived, all the hotels and everything were paid for in advance and blah, blah, blah. And they're getting us a bus from the airport to the hotel. And they said, on arrival, your hotel has burnt down. I went,
oh, Jesus.
So I said, well, where will we be going? Oh, we'll find another one. They're just going to keep driving north from Mombasa to put us
find
wherever
a hotel.
We're going to fit.
The hotel burnt to the ground.
The hotel was burnt down. And no one bothered to tell us until we actually arrived.
That's genius.
Anyway, they found us another one and yeah. just shoved us in there. I went on, you know, a very romantic cruise down the River Nile.
Did you now?
Yes, in Egypt.
How was that?
I thought, oh, I saw that movie, you know.
Death on the Nile. Oh, not the other one.
Queen of the Nile.
Oh, that's the fella.
Or Death on the Nile.
Death on the Nile.
Well, it was nearly that because the funny thing was everyone, you know, we had a fabulous dress-up night where I was just wore my Speedos and a sheer thing.
I love that dress-up night.
And we were dancing on the cruise. And
Speedos and sheer
top.
And it
was all the big, you know, knees up shindig. And then the next day we all had to go to the airport and then leave all the cruise. And then one by one, when we're standing in the queue at the airport, people just were falling to the ground, literally dropping, like boom. I went, oh, that's weird. Boom, boom. Another couple went, boom, 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 boom. People in the queue were just dropping to the floor. And I was going, what is wrong with these people? They're not putting, they were putting them all in wheelchairs. This is at the airport in Egypt to come back. And it was so strange. And one by one, wheelchairs. I mean, there must have been, I don't know, 8, 9 people.
Right.
Cocoon. Down.
Cocoon.
Then we get on the flight and then bleh, vomiting.
Had all these people got onto the flight? Or they just?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, they just wheeled them on the flight and lobbed them in.
Yes.
Lobbed do the them best
all,
you can.
Lobbed, we're all in. All in. Doors are locked.
Doors
up in the air. Bleh. And they're going, oh, this is not good. This is not good. I was in seat 1A. And my friend was in seat 1B. So we're up the front. And I was going, what is wrong with all these people? Like, there was so much vomiting. And then suddenly, the whole plane is vomiting. The whole plane, except for myself and my mate. And I'm going, I think I'm going to have it. Everyone's really ill. This is bad news. But, I mean, it was just all those bags, those airbags. Vomiting, 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 vomiting. People fainting, people, it was like crazy flight. And then we were okay.
Everyone was fine.
No, no. Me and my friend were okay. We were fine. So I was saying, oh, I'll have a rusty nail, darling.
A rusty nail?
Yeah, Drambuie and whiskey on ice.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, and a bullfrog.
They allowed
Bailey's
animals
and Quantro,
on?
No, oh, I see. Bailey's and Quantro on ice.
Oh, right.
So I was doing that just in case.
The sort of that stuff.
No, just in case it might wear off the sickness or whatever, because we were terrified we were going to get something. And I said, do you feel all right? And he went, yeah, I'm absolutely fine. Half an hour when they announced the landing, he said, I'm not feeling. Then he vomited and I was the last person standing. We had, when we landed, they quarantined the entire plane.
Apart from you?
No, I had to stay on there because I could be infectious.
Oh, they didn't let anybody.
I didn't know what, no one knew what it was. No one knew what it was. The whole plane. We're on the tarmac for 3 hours.
Oh, Jesus.
Waiting for fumigation, people to come in, all of that. Then we're finally released off the flight. And just as I collect all my luggage, do all of that stuff, and I'm just coming out the airport into the fresh air, and there was a bin, and I went, it finally got me.
Gotcha, you just
so much later. It was salmonella poisoning.
Oh.
The whole plane had it. We'd had off chicken the night before.
Chicken.
We had off chicken the night before on that cruise, and they sent us all on that flight.
They just wheeled you all into the tin can of a plane
it
and
was
said, vomitorium.
So that was my Egyptian
experience.
My beautiful romantic, you know, cruise down the River Nile.
In a Speedo and a chiffon slip.
Yeah, well, it was all good fun until the flight.
I was sitting on a plane. I was going to Ibiza for a wedding. And I got the 9 o'clock flight. Now, people who know this flight will go, it was from Gatwick on EasyJet. Everybody in the airport who was going to Ibiza, it was during the summer period. People in the airport, in all the bars and stuff, are all pretty much on it. There's a lot of Ever we got onto the plane, you could think this was going to be messy as we were getting onto the plane. I was thinking, oh, God, make sure this is quick. Anyway, I sat down. The plane took off. Okay, we'll take off. Up we go. Soon as the lights went off, the fasten seatbelt light went off, people were getting up and walking to the front of the plane to try and get some alcohol from the cabin crew.
Mm.
They said, please, could you go and sit down and line up for the loo? Anyway, this young lady was stood at the front of the aisle, on the aisle there, at the front there, in the queue. She stood there. I looked across. She sort of looked at me, and then she passed out and face-planted the ground. Literally just went from vertical position to horizontal. Donk. Hit the floor and slightly bounced. And there was this sort of roar from the crowd. I remember turning to the lady next to me and went, oh, she's gone early. And then unfortunately, the cabin crew have now got to deal with it. So they had a terrible job. And they're trying to help this young lady. And I think her boyfriend turned up absolutely off his face. And of no, he got told off immediately by the cabin crew, go away, you're of no help at all. He turned away and went, could I just have a bottle of vodka, please, to go back? No, go away. So he got sent back to his chair, and his whole place, and his poor girl had to get scooped up and sort of padded down and then put back in her seat to head back over to Ibiza. It was the most drunken thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Oh, dear.
It was extraordinary.
Well, our plane wasn't drunk. They were just really young.
Violently sick. And that, my love, is the gold standard. It's time for Judgy Much, with just a hint of sunburn.
It's quickfire judging, darling.
And I'm in the hot seat this week, so wish me luck.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Shoes and socks off on a flight.
No, no. Don't be disgusting. Keep your feet to yourself.
Guided tours.
Yes.
Children running around the hotel restaurant.
Now, as a father with children, it is irritating.
People who recline their seats all the way back.
I know you can, and I know I could, and we'd still be in the same situation as we were if we were both upright, but it's still irritating.
Log cabins.
Lovely.
Trashy holiday fridge magnets.
Stop now. No.
City breaks.
I like a city break.
Buffet breakfast.
I'm less keen on the buffet breakfast. Give me the a la carte menu, please.
Clapping when the plane lands.
No, it's supposed to do that. What else were you expecting?
Late checkout.
Yes, please.
SPF 50.
Absolutely, with my fair skin. God, yes.
Shoes and socks off on a flight.
No.
Well, yes.
No,
shoes. I'm not going to leave my shoes on
shoes
the whole flight.
Off, shoes off are fine. Socks off, no.
Why?
Keep your manky trotters to yourself.
No, I put my flight socks on.
Oh, not your support tight. You're not there yet.
My deep vein thrombosis tights.
No, you're not that guy, are you?
I am.
I never thought you were him.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't roll up the deep vein thrombosis.
What about the reclining? People that go, you just get your meal and then you go, boom.
That's irritating.
Doesn't happen in first class, so no. I wouldn't know.
Oh. And you can't do it in economy.
It actually doesn't happen in business either. Even
economy. Premium economy.
Premium
does.
Economy.
That's irritating.
Oh, what? They?
Yeah, really annoying.
I've never done premium economy.
I had one of my children, we were in premium economy with the children going somewhere. And somebody leant back in front of one of the children and did that. So I just got them to do things that would be really irritating to the person in front. Throw things.
It's quite easy.
Pull the hair,
you can just go like this.
All that sort of stuff. Kick the chair. Just keep kicking the back of the chair.
Oh, sorry, that was my knee. Sorry, apologies.
I just say, keep kicking the back of the chair. And when they look, and I go, sorry, he's young. Like that, give it all that. It's just annoying, isn't it?
Well, just children on a flight are annoying.
Well, our children are magnificent when they fly.
What, do you drug them?
How about, that's a good question. What about parents that give their children on a flight a little bit of a sort of some sort of gentle medication to help them sleep.
My parents would just give us a glass of, like,
brandy.
No, Moselle.
Oh, what's that?
No, it's Spumante.
What, sparkling wine?
Yeah. It's only like 9% or something.
Oh, only 9%. Yeah. How old were you?
I don't know, 12 or something.
All right. Give it a shot.
That wasn't for a flight, though, mind you.
That was just lunch.
That was just Sunday lunch. clapping when the plane lands.
No, don't.
I hate clap
the plane. It's supposed to do that.
Americans do it all the time.
Well, you paid for that part of the service. You paid for the service of being taken off and landed in this place that you wanted to end up in. You don't clap him for that. You don't clap the bus driver because he arrived at your stop. Do
some
you?
People do.
What?
They do.
What were they expecting?
Some people
don't give your Uber driver a round of applause. Thank you for getting me here, my destination.
No, but you're expected to give a tip. Well, that's no. A round of applause for an Uber driver.
No, I don't do Uber.
Don't you?
No, I don't. I'm very anti Uber.
You know what's great?
I'm very
on holiday. It's really handy. It's great. Australia, you can go to loads of countries that have Uber.
Yeah.
So for me, I've got an Uber account. So when I arrive, I can either choose to get an Uber from the airport or a very, very expensive airport taxi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I think you should reconsider it. And plus,
not in the UK.
You can have a business account or you can have a personal account.
Oh.
You see, and you can delve it up. So you could be flying out for business and then use your Uber business. I think it's really good. And plus, I mean, who would think that my Uber account would work in Australia? But it does. Boom.
Well, instant. I don't know the taxi services in other countries, but it's probably a very good service abroad or in the wider world. But in the UK, I'm anti it. I don't agree with it.
Oh.
Don't agree with it.
Well, that is a shame.
I think it's a wrong one.
And
I think it should be banned.
Unfortunately, that wraps up quick fire. What's it called?
The round is quicker than your wrap up. Do that again.
Well, thank you very much for that, Anton Dubek. That now completes our Judgy Much for this week. Darlings, it's time for Judging Me, Judging You, my favourite part.
Now, we've picked out one of your juicy emails, complete with juicy travel confession.
And so, it's time to judge you. Today's Judging Me, Judging You story came by email for anonymising purposes. We're naming Claire.
Oh,
with an I.
Oh, hello, Claire.
Not hello, Claire. Right. Dear Craig and Anton, every holiday we go on, my husband loves to chat to people by the pool, at the bar, in the breakfast buffet, and always comes away with these mad promises to meet up with people again after the holiday is over.
Oh, no.
I'm not judging it.
I am.
9 times out of 10, these faux friendships stay on the beach, despite his best efforts. But every now and again, we find ourselves having an awkward dinner where the one thing we have in common with these people has been removed. Is it wrong of me to want to just escape and relax while we're away? How can I tactfully change this situation or at least compromise? Thanks so much. Love the pod. Oh, she loved our pod.
Love the pod. Claire. Thanks, Claire, not Claire.
Thanks so much. Love the pod. Oh, thanks, Claire. Right. Advice.
No, don't. What's the husband? Oh, we don't know the husband's name. Mr. Claire. Stop now. What's wrong with him? Just enjoy your holiday. Don't talk to everybody and make up new friends. You don't need new friends. Just enjoy your holiday. Don't tell me you do it. You don't. You. I've been away with you. You lock yourself away in a private area.
Unless I've got a Speedo on, darling.
Yeah. Speedo and chiffon, then you're out.
No.
Doing a Zumba class.
No, I agree, but I have to sort of disagree because I've made some very, very good friendships on holiday by doing that very same thing. By having a drink at the bar. Oh, hello, darling, how are you? Ba, 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 ba. Then you knock about together on the holiday. In fact, I've made very, very good friends.
I know,
it sounds awful, but it sort of worked out. So I'm in I'm not in no man's land. I think it's good as long as it doesn't take over your entire holiday. Yes. You just have to be very clever and very succinct with the person that you're chatting up for a future friendship. I would just say, oh, no, we're not available tomorrow because we're doing our own thing. Mm. I'd be honest. Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to go on that bike ride or the mountain climbing with you because we're doing our own thing.
Yeah,
as much as you love each other at the buffet and as much as you get on like a house on fire after 12 pints of lager in the evening when you roll off to the hotel room to bed. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. You don't want to be lumped with those people.
No, you don't want to enjoy your holiday with other people, like having a... You're not having a sort of group holiday.
Unless, Claire, you are in one of those terrible relationships that you need other people, where you can't converse or you're actually over one another. Now, that could be a point. Claire could be not, I mean, the husband might be, you might be as boring as batshit.
Oh.
And your husband, Clary, the only way he can get out of your boringness is if he goes and makes friends with other people. Have you thought about that?
I don't think she's thought about that.
No, but I think she should definitely chat to her husband about it.
Am I really dull?
And say, why do you have to befriend every single person on the holiday? And why can't we ever have, you know, a really nice time, a romantic time together? Maybe bring that up. You might be opening a big can of worms and it could end in divorce.
Oh,
but... God, I'm just saying.
This has escalated. I like it.
Well, better to tell the truth and be honest. If you don't like it, you've got to tell him.
Yeah.
And then he will tell you the reason why he doesn't.
Yeah, you're dull. Or not.
Well, you could be D-U-double-L dull.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's why he has to go off and form all these friendships. Maybe your relationship is over and it's time to move on, Claire.
Crikey. Clary, I'm thinking that's not the case. I'm hoping that's not the case. Let's just know if it is the case. But I'm sort of, yes, I don't mind chatting to people on holiday, and you do meet some nice people. I don't want to start sort of arranging stuff. So I'm with you on that. Let's not meet up after the holiday. Good heavens above. Although I have a couple of people that will come and see me do shows. They're absolutely the loveliest people in the whole wide world. So when I'm on tour, they pop over and say hi, and I've met them on holiday. They're just the loveliest people in the world. So sometimes you do meet nice people. But on a whole,
last week I was out for dinner with people I met in the Maldives.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Wow.
And they're great.
Are they?
They are so much fun.
Nice.
And they're nice, young, lovely couple. Like my kind of people.
Yes.
Our kind of people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
So, I mean, I did get a big rash in the pool with them trying to look for whales and stuff.
Mm.
Because
you have many whales in the pool?
No, we went to their pool, you see.
Oh, I see. They've got a big pool. Whales
in
their pool?
No. This was on the holiday. We went to another pool instead of our own.
No.
And it was overchlorinated.
But is that because of the whales, do you think?
No, but we were just in the pool for too long all together as a group.
Did you get wrinkly and rashy?
No. Yeah, I got rashy because chlorine burns.
God.
If there's too much chlorine in the pool, it burns your skin. And so I was itchy and very bumpy. Not that that changed our friendship because I'm still friends with them. But yes. I have to just remind you, my darling, of the question at hand. How can I tactfully change this situation or at least compromise? How can she tactfully? I suppose like just getting a divorce won't change it tactfully, will it?
That's so quite a sort of...
How can you be tactful? I think just speak the truth. Be honest with him.
Say
my
like
darling,
it.
I really would prefer if you didn't befriend every single person on holiday because...
I'm not having much of a holiday when I'm spending it with other people.
I think... Tell him the truth.
And also,
but some people can't. Yeah, but some people cannot be told. They just befriend. They can't help themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
If he wants to chat to people, let him chat to people. But tell him to stop arranging stuff with people. Don't arrange to have dinner with people, etc.
When you get back.
And certainly when
because
you get
it's about
back.
Getting back, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, certainly.
Because
it can spoil your holiday.
Well, those holiday romances, you know, don't often raise their ugly heads unless a girl's got pregnant.
Well, Clary.
I sort of feel sorry for him. Mm. If I had a husband like that, yeah. I'd have to bye-bye.
That was I thought that was a tremendous story. Thank you, my love.
If, my darlings, you would like the opportunity to be very lightly and kindly judged by us.
Kindly.
Please send your stories to...
Kindly judged by me, harshly judged by you. Judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk.
That is judgmental@bowermedia.co.uk.
And we'll try to be nice, although I will probably be nice.
I know, I can't make any promises.
There you are.
Although I do often give... very solid advice.
Strong advice.
It's strong.
Strong advice.
It's opinionated.
But it's strong.
But it's a never judgy.
Thank you, my loves, for tuning into this episode of Judgmental.
We'll be back next week with even more drama, darling, more scandal, and truly astonishing levels of pettiness.
I have been Anton Dubek.
And of course, I have been Craig Revel Horman.
See you next time!